Welcome, everybody, to the Natural Born Hunter podcast brought to you by Mountain Ops. Mountain Ops is a supplement company that specializes in the needs of the hunter. If you need a little more protein in your diet, boom, hit up the Magnum. Three different sources of protein in there, so it absorbs in your body at different points in time, making it last longer so you can get stronger. You can also check out their Yeti pre-workout, perfect for hitting max lifts, PRs, getting your head in the game, and getting after it. They also have Enduro for those of you who are a little more cardio-based in your workouts, looking to charge hard for long hours at a time. The podcast is also brought to you today by Alaskan Guide Creations, the originators and innovators when it comes to bino harnesses. They're the guys to do it first and do it better, frankly, than everybody else out there. If you're going to dump a bunch of money into getting fantastic, great, expensive binoculars, well, then you better, you know, spend a little bit to protect those. They're super reasonably priced, they come in great camo patterns, and they're a fantastic product. They strap it to your chest, hold them down, fully encased in there, and protect them from all the elements. So check them out. Without further ado, let's fire this puppy up. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Natural Born Hunter podcast. I'm your host, Will Bradley, along with the man, the myth, the legend. They call him Big Sexy out in the Western Mountain States. How you doing tonight, Phil Mendoza?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing, Will?
I'm doing good. And we have another good friend of ours on tonight, Santino Mantino Castellanos, whose name I'm trying not to butcher.
Got it.
Good job, Will.
Thank you. And you guys just returned from what looked like a very exciting SHOT Show.
Yeah, it was a good time. SHOT Show is always you know, a little bit crazier than some of the other trade shows that I'm able to go to every year. But, you know, Phil and his wife came out, and my wife was there, and it's always good to have good, you know, family and friends, you know, surrounding you. So it was a good time. We didn't sell ourselves short of fun by any means.
Now, walk us through it, those of us who haven't been to SHOT Show. I know you're a veteran at this now, but Start us from the beginning. Where do you start SHOT Show off at?
Well, I don't know if I'm a veteran, but it's one of those things that, you know, as I've been able to go the last few years and been fortunate enough to, you know, go out there, represent True Sight and some of the shows that I sell for. Usually we get out there a day early because on Monday there's an event called Range Day. And out of all the days that I'm there through the whole week, that's probably – That's just a really fun time because I can, you know, go and network a little bit, but more putting work aside and just going and look at all the new firearms that are being launched and, you know, people, you know, wanting to shoot different firearms. Like they have like a rapid fire gun or bump fire. So like with the recoil of the gun, it's almost, you know, simulates shooting a fully automatic. That first day for, you know, a few of us is a really, really fun day just to kind of unwind and get your head wrapped around the storm that's about to hit starting Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning then kicks off into, depending on who you are and what your goals are at SHOT, just meeting after meeting after meeting. You know, the first SHOT Show I went to, and I know Phil went this year for the first time, it's just almost just trying to come up for air and breathe for a few minutes because it is so packed. You know, again, I'm very fortunate to look at the outdoor hunting industry, ATA, you know, just returning a week from ATA and then hitting this show. But now you're dealing with every gun manufacturer, tactical, defense company, backpack companies. And I'm not just in the hunting field, but all across the board. Case companies that are, you know, I think I've heard Aaron Snyder say that you could walk every booth and spend maybe 5 minutes there and you won't get every booth at SHOT if you were there the whole week. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't want to prove that theory right or wrong, but there's just a lot to be seen. And some people don't even know that there's a second floor. Like you can be overwhelmed just on the first floor. So by the time you get to the second floor in the basement and then some of these breakout rooms, you're like, man, this industry's huge.
Yeah. I mean, I was only there for, I essentially only visited the show floor for a day and not even the full day. And I was talking to Will about it and I said, you know what? I'm glad that this isn't my primary show to go do purchasing for my shop because I visited essentially four booths in about 3.5 hours. That's about it.
Yep. And then adding meetings to that, you know, if you have to sit down and do a 15, 20 minute meeting and then, you know, jog over to the other side of the room. And I've never been in New York City, you know, Will, you could probably help me out with this, but it's like shoulder to shoulder, people bumping into you to some degree, depending on what time you hit the floor. And it's not that they're trying to be disrespectful, but everyone's trying to get somewhere and handle their initiatives.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like New York City. Only New York City also smells bad.
Well, there may have been a few whiffs of people that were walking by that were running and gunning. You're like, oh, man, but then there's the food trucks there too, so it could be one or the other. But nonetheless, yeah, people are running around trying to do a lot of business.
So there's a few bad smells.
Potentially, yeah. Just depends on what day and what time you're there.
All right, so what was the most fun gun you shot during that period?
You know, I've been able to shoot on range day. I've been able to shoot a few different guns. The one I think I was probably most excited about was the new Browning Speed X-Bolt that they're coming out with. Browning launched a new camo line called Speed, and they have a new, well, it comes in various calibers, but they had a 30-06. It has a muzzle brake, fluted barrel. It's just, and the way that that gun reloads, because I do some mountain rifle hunting, it's just, it's probably a gun that I'm going to have to maybe order from Browning.
Do you purchase it?
Yep. Yeah, that's correct. And then they have a high power handgun, and I'm not a big handgun guy other than the fact when I shoot that handgun, the high power, I feel like I'm Billy the Kid because they have the little, you know, metal plates that you can hit down at like 10 or 15 yards. And I don't know, once I put my hand on that gun, I felt like I could hit anything.
I have a big place in my heart for Browning guns. My first two firearms were both Brownings, both shotguns, and I've had offers on one of them, probably get 5 a year, and I won't sell that gun. They will have to pry it from my cold dead hands if I don't get buried with it.
Oh, I'm sure, and I could see why. I just got it, you know, started using Browning a few years ago, and you know they make a great, great firearm from their shotguns. You know, I think, you know, a lot of guys have known them for their shotguns. I have a bunch of buddies that are into waterfowl hunting and guys that are Browning guys, that's, you know, they live, breathe, and die by it. And I've been fortunate enough to use some of their high power rifles, and I'm a huge fan. Again, I spend most of my time behind a bow, but when I do shoot their rifles, they're nice.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a departure from our normal bow hunting talk, but I have one of the original Auto Fives shotguns.
Oh, really?
Made. Yeah, so I was excited when they re-released it, when they, you know, came back out with the humpback design, because I think it's a great shotgun, great all-purpose shotgun.
Are you headed to the Western Hunting Expo in a few weeks?
I am not. I'll be spending most of my time on the East Coast till actually
post,
you know,
baby.
What? Yeah, post baby. Actually, I'm supposed to. I got to book a ticket. I got to be out in Vail for a bachelor party in March. So other than that, I will be yeah, till post baby, I'll be sticking here.
Well, that's right. Yeah, congratulations again. If you do have a chance to go to that Western Hunting Expo, it's a fun show, but the Browning Museum is just right up the road, about 30 minutes, and we have a good relationship with those guys, but it's been really cool to see the heritage and John M. Browning and like how he started that whole company. But part of that history and the relationships there are also, you know, makes that gun a lot funner to shoot for sure, or any of their guns.
It definitely does. I actually looked up the old plans, like his original plans and drawings and stuff on it, and that guy was a genius, way ahead of his time with his gun design. It's kind of a fun thing to do if anybody's interested. Go and start looking up, you know, John M. Browning's designs and, you know, his drawings and stuff that he came up with and the way he did it, and they're works of art.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Won't disagree there.
So before we get back into SHOT Show, let's talk a little bit about what you do, because it's kind of an interesting job.
Yeah, I was in the fitness industry for about 5 or 6 years, and I ended up going to my first ATA show about 5 years ago and met a gentleman. I was actually talking to Cameron Haynes, and I wanted to grab a picture real quick. And Cameron asked me, where are you from? I told him Westminster, Colorado, and the guy that was with him, his name's Willie Schmidt with Pure Hunting, and he goes, well, I'm from Westminster. And it was just a small world type thing, and we exchanged information, and I reached out to him, and he started coming to the gym and working out, but we had a lunch, and he started telling me about the outdoor industry and kind of his model and vision for Pure Hunting. And the short story is that he saw some of the videos that I put together. And when I was doing that, he goes, man, I think it'd be great for you to come film one of my elk hunts up in Wyoming, just kind of get your feet wet if this is an industry you want to move in. And ended up going into TrueSight Media, which is in Littleton, Colorado, walked in there, met the president of the company, Matt Tatusco. And the minute that he met me, like, you know, he was just like, hey, man, I need a director. Like, there's no doubt that you can run a camera, but I need a guy that can run our business development, you know, sales department. So as soon as that kicked off, you know, God opened one door after the other. And, you know, I've been selling for Willie since, but then have added some shows like The Most Wanted List, McMillan with Tom McMillan. And then, you know, we've done shows like Gun It before. We did Shed Wars earlier this spring. And that ended up taking off to a much larger network after that aired this year. But essentially what I do when I go to SHOT is I'm working with all of our partners that sponsor the shows that I represent. And, yeah, it's been a heck of a job because I can go and, you know, deal with all these big brands. And I think there's that little bit of an intimidation factor. Obviously, I'm a big believer in practice what you preach. So being in the outdoors, all those things are part of my heritage. And Phil Mendoza's, you know, he sold me my first bow. So, you know, he's kind of like my big brother from another mother. And, you know, him and I bounce a lot of ideas off each other. But at the end of the day, you know, we've been able to spend some time in the field. And I've had some what I'd call success there and kind of passing that heritage on to my wife. And well, she hunted as well. But like now my son and him having a really good year and just really living the brand and then going and working with these different partners and not just being a sales guy, but, you know, being a fellow outdoorsman that can talk to them about real hunting and life experiences has been something that's been huge with TrueSight. And it, for me, some people dread these trade shows, but I absolutely love them because from, I don't care if it's 8 o'clock in the morning having coffee or 1 o'clock in the morning out at the bars having a drink, you just never know who you're going to bump into or meet and how you guys can help each other.
Yeah. And it's one of those deals that I've got to get a little taste of what Santino deals with and the business relationships and personal relationships that you develop there. I mean, you get to see a lot of these people on TV, right? Santino gets to work with some every day, but the rest of us, if you don't know any of these people in the industry and even like a Vortex, for example, right? The crew that runs Vortex or Browning or any of these companies out there, getting to sit down and talk with them maybe it's just 3 or 5 minutes, and it really gives you a better perspective of who you're dealing with or, you know, who you're sending your money to at the end of the day when you're buying some of these products.
Absolutely. Phil got to finally meet Butch Whiting, right? That was at ATA when you first met Butch.
I met him last year.
Oh, last year too. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, these guys get super busy. They have a company. They have all these other initiatives. They're, you know, dealing with guys like me that are trying to potentially get funding for some sort of media project or whatever the case is, but they're also licensing their patterns out. They're, you know, dealing on the tactical side. They're dealing with their current TV shows and, you know, much, much more than I could even fathom. It's always fun talking with Butch and Josh and just hearing how much is on their plate with how big that brand's growing. But, you know, more than anything, it's just a real opportunity to, you know, talk shop. And if there's any media needs that anyone has, if I can't provide them a service, I can definitely point them in the right direction. I think just going to these shows and doing them, you know, from the first ATA that you went to, Will, I'm sure this year when you went, it was a different story. Like, people recognize the face, they know what you're doing, they know what you stand for. But again, I think when people can meet you face to face and look at you and see what you're all about, that's what to me makes this industry really attractive.
It's pretty cool because I think the job you do is probably up there with the most important jobs in the industry you could have.
Thanks, man. I don't know about that. I'm just trying to make everybody that I represent look good.
Well, you know, you're a hustler. You're a natural born hustler. You make the deals, you close the deals, and people, you know, especially in a position like mine or Phil's or anyone who's trying to get in the industry and media or whatever, that you quickly realize how hard it is or how much work it takes to make deals and build those relationships.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I think at the end of the day, like, some mottos that I live by when we do these trade shows is, at the end of the day, people are going to want to work with people that they like and, more importantly, trust. And then having a good team. There's some people, for example, that would rather work with Willie than me. So I can just be the paper pusher on the back end. And either way, you know, we don't really care as long as the objective, you know, as long as we can complete our objectives and that, you know, when we make promises that, you know, we do what we say we're going to do. And if something ever, you know, slips through the cracks, that we're going to own that and take accountability for it. And even though it is such a big industry, it's very, very small. And just making sure that any of the promises that you do make, you know, you honor those. And if you drop the ball on anything, you own those. I think that goes a real long way. And then again, the face-to-face time is huge.
If you were to give advice to guys trying to break in the industry, what would it be?
Well, I think that, well, there's a lot of things, but the simple thing is just, you know, be true to yourself. There was a podcast that I heard with Phil and Matthew, and man, I had to give my, you know, hats off to Matt, because he was talking about being you and doing, you know, there's only one Will Bradley, especially with that big old beard that you got growing there. And you have your niche and you have your personality, and, you know, God's made you the way that you are. And same with Phil, same with Santino, and same with all these guys that are passionate and doing what they're doing. So focus and do what you're good at. And then, you know, really try to learn from other people. I feel like the more that I learn, the less I know. That's just an old saying. So I think staying humble, you know, a lot of guys that try to go after pro staffs, and, you know, I may have been guilty of it when I first started. It was all about like, okay, what can I create so these, you know, companies can look at me and find me attractive to be a pro staff guy. And I had to retrain myself to think, you know, what are their marketing needs? How can I push the needle for Gold Tip and, you know, make posts that are meaningful to inspire and influence others to go buy those arrows? Is it through a TV show? Is it through my own social media? Is it through, and just really, you know, going into things, you know, with the right intentions, the right heart, and then pushing the right things. And what I mean by that, like lining up with what you believe in and making sure that you can do what you say you're going to do. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. Try to underpromise and overdeliver, and I think that'll take you a long way.
And I mean, well said, Santino. And one thing I might add to that is don't be afraid to fail, because you're going to deal with a lot more no's than you get yeses, right?
Well, that's kind of the, you know, I've been doing sales since I was 13 years old, believe it or not. And I remember, you know, if I can close 20%, so I asked 10 people to, you know, hey, why don't you buy this picture from me? And two people say yes, and I feel like I'm doing okay. And then if you can just raise those numbers, but it's perfecting the system. There's a lot of people that say they're going to do things. And, you know, again, sometimes I've absolutely, and I'll throw myself under the bus because, you know, there's no harm or shame, but I've overcommitted sometimes because it's just my heart to try to help as many people as I can. Again, I feel so fortunate and blessed to be able to do what I do, and I want to help other guys get there. And, I love when guys bounce ideas off me. Again, Phil and I have done that. Kent and Claremont with Train to Hunt. There's various people that I could go to that I've called or they've called me, and we can just brainstorm. And, you know, I know Will before, like after Train to Hunt, you came out to Colorado and we talked about a couple things, and to see what you and Phil have collectively done, you know, with your podcast is awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy what two guys who know nothing about technology can do with a couple microphones.
YouTube, man. It's all about that YouTube.
I love what you just said. I couldn't agree with it more. And especially, you know, as, you know, speaking of Matt and Matt, there's a guy who original, just as original as they come in this industry, you know. And I think I was just on a podcast when we were talking about this, about how being yourself and true to who you are, like you say, God's made you, and you're the only one of you. So don't do a disservice to that, you know, and try to be someone else or you know, follow in with the herd. Be you. Do you.
Right.
Find the best you and be that.
Right. Yep, the best version of yourself that you can be, absolutely.
Like, I can't be Santino. I can't hustle that hard. I can't close those deals. I'd have to call you and be like, Santino, I have some hustling that needs to be done.
Hey, man, I'm a phone call away.
You were one of the first guys in this industry and just one of the nicest guys. That's the thing. If anyone's ever out at one of these shows and you come across Santino, say hello and introduce yourself. You know, I think people enjoy making those connections.
And a smack on the ass now or then, he doesn't get mad either. I just, you know, and maybe that's just, maybe I'm, you know, that's just our relationship. But, you know, a good game, good job type of deal, you know.
Yeah. Just do the pizza delivery thing and grab me behind the neck, then that might end up pretty bad.
A little smack and a gentle tug.
Just a gentle tug. That's right.
So, getting back to the show stuff, I mean, business side of stuff, Santino, you got to, I got to see, I should say, a little bit of the celebration side of stuff, you know, the banquet we got to go to this year. Even at ATA this year, it seemed it was very, it was quite the social event, right? I mean,
absolutely.
And rightfully so. I mean, a lot of guys like yourself and other guys in the industry that are grinding all year, you know, we take a little bit of time that we can to go hunt. We go hunt. And then at the end of the year, it's time to recharge, you know, shake hands, thank you, appreciate it for relationships, see how we can be valuable to some of these companies moving forward. And then we get to see everybody and hang out. And at SHOT, it was like a bigger culmination. ATA was good, but it seemed like SHOT, it was everybody was there.
Right. So, yeah, you know, from the social aspect, I think, you know, there's usually something going on every night, and then there's a few places that we all can circle back and go to a few local bars or whatever the case is. But, you know, anywhere from, like, the guys from Drop, the Kiefer Brothers, you know, companies like Cryptek and Brown, everyone is just – they're so busy throughout the day. And, yeah, it's – you know, some people have called it Hell Week, but – for me, it's just a really, really fun week, and it can be redundant when you're going to all these trade shows. But I think the bigger picture here, aside from doing business, you know, again, yeah, you know, Will saying I'm a hustler or whatever, I think you can't, just like hunting, you can't, and in some certain places, you're not going to be successful hunting out of a parking lot. You got to go to where the elk are at. You got to go to where the game's at. And people that go to SHOT Show, I think, especially on the world that I live in, you just never know what's going to come about that, the partnerships. And really, it's just, I think everyone busts their butt all year. They're in the field, they're hustling, trying to get their footage, trying to make sure they can deliver their episodes. And we don't really get that one-on-one time. And Facebook may appear that, you know, we're just always hunting and we're not doing things behind a desk or, you know, trying to make sure that we're getting everything done that we have to, that we're just living this glorious life of being in the field and doing all that. And that is so far from the truth, because there is a business behind it if you're trying to be successful. So I think that when you're out and you're hanging out and there's just that camaraderie, it is some downtime. And then potentially, yeah, there could be some partnerships that are stemming or some, you know, relationships and business development opportunities that are there. But I really feel like it's organic. I don't think I've ever gone with the intention of like, okay, I'm going to go out to the bourbon room tonight and have X amount of beers and hopefully I can close this deal. Like my business is done on the trade floor. And then after, you know, we get off the trade floor, it's cocktail time, a late dinner and probably a late night, just kind of hanging out and seeing everybody and sharing hunting stories with.
What was the highlight of this year's ATA? I mean, not ATA, SHOT Show.
Well, I think there's quite a few moments, but to see one of the things that I'll point to is like, you know, Willie Schmidt, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I don't think either of you will argue with me on that. And just the amount of people that to see where, cause that was the first show I started selling. And, you know, Willie and I have a pretty close relationship to see what he has done or we have done collectively to build that show to where it is, and the feedback that we've gotten from our peers, other people that have TV shows, has been tremendous. Also, a really good friend of mine, Jason Matzinger, he's done a lot of stuff with like Project Elk. It's just there's certain people that maybe we – I don't want to call it a clique because we hang out with a ton of different people, but like usually if Willie's around or Jason or Jim and Jana Waller – or Jana Waller and Jim Kinsey, you know, we always kind of all sync up together and – you know, we all kind of, I don't want to say started all at the same time, but there's a few of us that started at the same time. And to see how much they've elevated and grown is huge. To see like Cryptek, because that's a company that I started with as a camo company when I first got into the industry. And Bush just believed in me because of my passion and my heart to see that company grow. And I really, the highlight would be is just to see the companies that I've been able to watch grow and mature into these really, really big brands. If you're a TV show or you're a personal company, and then I'll just be a little selfish, see my wife all over the Vortex catalog, and all that was pretty sweet. And she looked pretty damn good when we went to the award ceremony. So I'm always proud to walk around with her, and that, you know, just feel blessed.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. One of the best sayings I use all the time I got from you is, too blessed to be depressed.
Amen, man. Well, and that's the thing. I think, you know, having my wife there to watch what I do, to see, you know, all the ins and outs, and a lot of people that do, like, you know, Phil was on the floor and he got to see some things going on. He was like, dude, you know, you can just see it in people's faces. Like, you, I don't want to say you either got it or you don't, but it's just taken time for me to get to where I am, to be able to accomplish what I can do, you know, in the week that I'm there, but to be able to share that with my family and like to share a hunt with her this year, you know, she had a great season, and to share that with my son, it's just, it's inserting them into my life and, you know, not feeling, you know, bad about that. To me, that's huge, and that they support what I do and they're behind me 110%. And that's my support system, along with many, many great people and friends that, you know, are behind me and support what I do. That just makes, you know, just makes me feel like the strongest guy, you know, in the room sometimes, because of the support system that I have behind me and want to see me and everything that we're working on do well. That's huge.
Yeah. You know, I totally couldn't agree more about the support system and being about who you surround yourself with. I feel like coming out to train to hunt, you know, for the first time, meeting both you and Phil at that first event, it was like, I feel like I was very fortunate to get in with the right people who are positive, just hustlers. Like, I feel like everyone who I met last year and I've become friends with this year, I've seen nothing but banners, you know, pictures of banners and stuff of them at SHOT Show and all these different places. Like, everybody's just working really hard, really supportive of each other, and everyone's kind of rising together.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it has to go, you know, back to that and some of the things that I heard Matt Ament say is that, you know, we got to be for each other, not against each other. You know, we got to support, you know, again, I think that we're all brothers in Christ, but also brothers in, you know, being in the outdoors. And like, everyone has their own challenges when they go hunting, and they deal with it. You know, if I went out to, you know, your neck of the woods, who knows what would happen? Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Well, there you go. But it is one of those deals. Feel fortunate to be able to be on the outdoor side of it, and then also the business side of it. And I'm just having fun, man. I'm kind of riding this thing until the wheels fall off, and it's been great.
What are you looking forward to most in this industry?
Definitely being in the field, the opportunities that, you know, present themselves. But even more so, like when we go into the field, being able to bring content out of that inspires people. So if it's a new, you know, series, or if it's a new short film or a new episode, and really being able to deliver inspiration to people, you know, again, I'm not talking about my own personal work. Is that what you're asking?
Anything, man. Free form. You go for it.
Yeah, you know, for me, there's something like, because I'm constantly watching content online, and there's, you know, the Brandlin Shockies and, you know, Donnie Vincent. There's guys that are just raising that bar, just like in anything. You see, I come from the ski and snowboard industry, and I remember watching Sean White. He just kept raising that bar. It's like, man, like, who's ever going to beat this guy? You know, and again, Sean's a good friend, like, awesome, awesome dude. But it's one of those things that the guy just could continue to raise the bar and get it done. And there's companies, there's shows, there's brands, and then there's, you know, guys that are just promoting themselves and doing all that. And for me, it's super exciting, because it's, at the end of the day, it's something that I can feel confident before I punch my card that I'm going to be able to leave a legacy for my kids, my wife, and, you know, pass on conservation. Because at the end of the day, that's my heart. Like, to be able to do this job in the industry that I'm most passionate about, I somewhat feel retired, because I get to work in this industry and just do what I love.
That's awesome. Is there, like, have you seen anyone in particular? Let me go back a little bit. Did you have anything to do with the new Pure Hunting opening trailer scene that's out there, that video?
I did not have anything to do with that other than, you know, watching it and giving Willie my feedback on it.
It's good. I really enjoyed it. It's fire.
Yeah, it's great. You know, they have that, I think, opacity, you know, where you got the animal in the background and then Willie turning. It's definitely a little bit of a shorter form, but really well thought out new opening. So I'm excited to see how that, you know, looks with the show and everything moving forward.
I think there's going to be a lot of hunting shows that are stepping their are stepping their game up that you're going to see start being real breakouts.
Right. No, absolutely. Well, one of the things I went to as soon as I got off the plane late Friday, or I should say early Saturday morning, ended up sleeping in, and then I went to a film festival for fly fishing, kind of like the Full Draw Film Tour, but for fishing. I don't know where these guys are getting their budgets, but holy cow, man, some of these guys were – there is some talent coming in. If some of those guys – now, granted, fishing can be more of a controlled, you know, scenario. You don't – they can use maybe different equipment that you couldn't use in like a high country elk hunt or something like that, but – it's just, you know, with all these new gimbals and this new technology, people are raising their game and they're able to tell stories that are meaningful. And I think that's really what it comes down to. If you can tell a really good story, sky's the limit.
Did the thing about the fishing videos, though, that would seem a little bit easier to me is you have one elk when you hunt, right? Or one deer you're really trying to get on film. Fishing, it's like, man, we go for a couple days.
Right.
Get a whole bunch of fish on film, you know?
Right. But it's just the travel locations. Some of these guys are, they're going to Argentina, Patagonia, like they're just all over the place. And I just, you know, even to fly there with the equipment that they're, you know, they're running probably 2 or 3 man crews. And, you know, those are always things that I look at, like, with a critical eye and just wondering, like, man, how many people were really behind this production? And, but, you know, they're, you know, all of them are just at such a high level of production quality. But it's exciting to see that come to the outdoor industry and see what's going to happen.
Do you think maybe it's the fact that they can save a little money on tags that helps them out?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that helps. But it just depends on where you are and who you hunt with and, you know, what kind of film crew you can run. Because some of those cameras, they just take a lot of finesse to run them.
Was there anything particularly exciting you saw at SHOT Show?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that I saw probably that makes sense in my world was the new Browning line that they launched, a Speed. It's called Hell's Canyon Speed, and they're making a huge, huge push right now. And again, I don't mean to keep pushing Browning. It's just one of the booths that I was at. Oh, Browning Ammunition too. Again, that's Browning.
So we like Browning, eh?
Yeah, and again, I'm not trying to plug him for that reason. Those were a few booths that I was able to see and check out. Vortex, you know, again, I was at that booth for a little while, and they had some, you know, just some really cool lightweight hunting scopes, you know, that are coming out on the market. And much more than that, the new Garmin technology that they're doing. They have the Verb.
What's with that? Because I've been seeing those watches out there, and they've got, like, people's faces on them, or what's
yeah. So there's one of their programmers that can do that as a joke, but I just think the functionality of that watch, like it's the Phoenix 3, you can get text messages, you can, you know, look at emails. And if you're a guy that hunts in a tree stand, or, you know, maybe you're making a stock and you don't want to pull your phone out because you stuffed it in your backpack, unless there's an emergency, you don't have to get it out. You can review any of the messages on your phone. You know, it has a, you know, barometer, altimeter, you know, compass. There's just so many features. I'm actually wanting to put something out on, you know, just doing a quick review on it. But for,
I like that.
You know, for a techie guy like me that was thinking about buying the Apple Watch, as soon as I looked at it, I'm like, I'll break that thing in probably a week.
Yeah.
Just because of the active lifestyle, the things that I'm doing, or I'm going to scratch the heck out of it. And I just didn't want to have to keep warranting that product. The Garmin pretty much you know, it accomplished the same, you know, features that I wanted with the Apple Watch, but not having to worry about, you know, breaking it or taking it off. So like when I go swim or any of my training stuff, I just wear it all the time. I don't worry about it. And it's been great.
So is Garmin making a big push then into the hunting world? Is that, that's what it seems like from the stuff I saw.
Well, yeah. And that's probably one of the things. I think their presence this year was bigger than what I've seen in the past, like with their booth. Obviously their GPS units, and they have wrist units too. I just think that they've come out with some, what I would call some sexy products. You know, you look at them and you hear and you see and you know a little bit about them right off the bat. You're gonna want to hear, you know, a lot more about them. And that's what I always think a great product is. You know, if you see a product, you hear a few features, and you're like, I got to have that. Well, you don't even need a salesman. They're just that good. And that for me, I'm probably my worst own enemy with that. As soon as I hear a couple cool features or they speak to me, it's like, I got to go buy it.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that too.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much.
So I think that product right there for me on the, you know, on the technology side was really, really cool. And the fact that the battery life on it, like I've been using mine for the last 2 months and maybe have to charge it when I'm running it hard, you know, every couple weeks. But usually it's like 30 to 45 days. I don't have to really charge it much more than that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then their new Verb camera, which is, you know, an active camera that like a GoPro, but I've mounted it to my bow and I've been just reviewing the footage. It's just a really, really cool option. You know, just like the GoPro, they have a ton of accessories, but it's also another great option for people that are looking at action cameras.
Now, did they have so you're saying they had a much bigger presence this year at the SHOT Show?
Yeah, from what I've seen in the past, absolutely. Like they, you know, maybe it was their positioning, but their booth looked far, far more larger than what I've ever seen in the past. And I'm not sure if they were even there sharing a booth last year because I just didn't see Garmin that much.
Yeah, you got to think, you know, with the loss, I would think there's a bit of a loss in the personal navigation systems that used to go in cars. A company right. like that is going to have to pivot, you know, yeah. look for new avenues.
Absolutely, but they've been doing their handheld devices for when you're in the backcountry, and I think they've always done pretty well there, but with companies like Suunto and some of these other, you know, watch manufacturers that are catering. I don't know what that is.
I think Phil's been going in and out. Oh, there we go. I think he's back. I think we got okay. Phil back in.
Yeah, but hey. I think.
Yeah, we did.
There he is. But yeah, I think companies that are, you know, trying to cater towards that mountain athlete, hiker, whatever, Garmin is just, they're making the right push right now.
Ooh, that brings up a good question. What do you make of all the trend, the rise in the increase in the hunter athlete population?
Well, I think that the hunter athlete population, for the most part, with the hardcore guys, has always been there. There's always been a presence. Definitely, hats off to Cameron Haynes. That's a huge name and brand, you know, that he's built, and have a ton of respect for the guy to be able to, you know, really put it on just such a bigger platform. And I think that there's a lot of guys in between that and, you know, going for that, you know, top 1%. But, you know, it's funny, Kenton came to the ISE show, which was here in Denver, and there's some guys there that, you know, I'm not putting anybody down, but everyone has their different moments. And, you know, some guys aren't going to hike 10 miles in the backcountry because they just physically can't. But they can call in a bull from anywhere because they know the mountain, they know the animals, and they're just get-it-doneer type guys. And those guys, as soon as they put an animal down, they can pack it up, they can get it in their back and get it down the mountain. Like, I know a lot of guys that are capable. But I think, you know, with the mountain athlete, you know, model, I think that it's always been there, but now it's just kind of like a new product that's come out to where it's kind of that sexy appeal, which is always good, right?
Very sexy.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, guys that are already studs, they're going to continue to do that. They're going to continue to put animals down or whatever the case is. You know, with me and having kids and, you know, the home life and all that, it can be tough. And just especially if you like to eat or, you know, having kids and, it can be hard. I'll just put it that way. I kind of fluctuate. I got called out by Lance Banning when we were at SHOT Show. So I said, well, if you're going to call me out, now we got to be accountable. So we're working on a few things right now, just on personal goals for me, fitness wise, but I've never not been capable, but would I rather be, you know, in shape and, you know, have all my ducks in a row? Yeah. It makes being coming off the mountain a lot easier and recovery way better. And as I'm getting a little bit older, and I just want to make sure I can do that with my boys because they're starting to hunt. And to me, that's number one. And Phil's said that several times. So I think, you know, with the mountain athlete, there's people that are doing it for just like in anything, right? They may be doing it for all the right reasons, maybe doing it for the wrong. But at the end of the day, if you're getting healthier, you're getting in more shape, I think that all points to positive.
Now, define call you out.
Define. Well, we did the Cameron put together something with the CrossFit gym.
The Moose on the Loose run, right? Yeah. Or no, something else.
Yeah, and no excuses, but Willie and I got some funk from ATA. We're sick, had this cough. He ended up having to go get an antibiotic, and I'm just stubborn. I won't go do that. And I think I was fine because I started feeling better. But then as soon as we got done with range day, you know, Willie's like, well, let's go over to the 5K. And Lance Banning ended up staying with me one night, and he goes, come on, dude, we got to go over there. So I ended up meeting him and, you know, the Mountain Ops guys over at the Moose on the Loose, and I just did my normal jog, and, you know, I guess I didn't realize a 5K was 3 miles, but I'm more of a lifter type of guy, but just coming off being sick or whatever the case is, even if I don't think I would have done any better, but I just maintained a light jog and just did what I did, and Lance just, you know, he was like, I think finished second or third. And, you know, to see Cameron Haynes kind of jogging back, a lot of respect. I think he jogged all the way to the end to help the last person just to encourage, like, you know, that was incredible to see. Like,
you weren't last, were you?
No, second to last.
Let's be clear on something, Santino. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
So Will and I went to go do the workout with Cam at the ATA show. Uh-huh. And Will had no shortage of excuses if we were going to be running. Will said,
I said, not doing it. No, thank you.
My hamstring and my quad, and let's do some more biceps. And,
yeah, that's what I was saying. I said, forget legs. Who needs them? You don't need legs?
That's right.
I said, no. Let's start doing East Coast hunting challenges. It's going to be a lot of bicep curls and military pressing.
There you go.
You know what? My favorite CrossFit workout is Linda. There's deadlift, bench press, and squats. That's my kind. Let's do that. That, to me, is way more enjoyable than any other workout that has – I don't care how far the running is. I'm just not that – I'll run if I have to get ready for, like, a train to hunt event. But other than that, I have no interest in running.
Will, what if I told you if you got to the point – you know the exercise you hang from the pull-up bar and you extend your feet and you do the wipers?
Like
your feet are. You're holding your feet up. You're hanging from the pull up bar. You raise your feet so that way they're at a 90-degree angle with your body, right? And then you windshield wipers, yeah. Right? Can you do those?
Yeah.
How many can you do?
I don't know. I've never done a bunch of them, but I could probably do a bunch. I bet.
Okay.
Well.
That's good if you can do them, because I was going to throw you into the bus there. I was going to say, hey, man, if you can't do them, you need to be able to do those to go elk hunting.
No, I can do – bro, give me a break. That's not running. That's not running. If those I can do, that kind of exercise, hold on to something, use your strength, use your core strength, use your muscles. We don't have to do any running. Yep, check the box. I got it. Once we start that run, though – putting the foot in front of the other foot, it's like my body's just like, ooh, child, what are you trying to do to me?
Well,
what are you trying to do? Your face white ass ain't made for running. What's that?
I said we went to Red Rocks that one time and you came up, and it's just, you know, every workout's different. You know, I grew up doing some MMA training and running the gyms for like 6 years. It's just, it's completely different. But there was no excuse. You know, again, I just did a jog. My lungs were like – I felt like I was hacking them up for like the rest of the night. But when we went to dinner, you know, Lance looks at me and he goes, hey, man, I love you, but I'm going to talk to you like an SF guy. And I'm like, Okay, special forces, here we go. And my pride almost got in the way because I was about to throw in how many animals I've put down and do that thing, but
Quick.
I just received it. He just goes, but you know what? The guy had a great point. He goes, dude, like I look up to you, and there's guys that look up to me, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that on my fitness side. And if anybody looks up to me, they should be looking up to my mentors. It goes back to that surrounding yourself. And dude, it rocked my world.
Oh no.
I felt like I was at church. I felt like I was at church, and I never looked at it that way because again, I'm not trying to be a chest beater. I've had some luck, and I've been very fortunate to do what I do. But when Lance, even mentioned that, he looked at me at some sort of, at a certain level where he's like, man, I respect you, and I'm always looking to see what you're doing or whatever the case is. Like I guess I didn't realize that or understand it. So when he said it, it hit home, and then I got home and I did his 300 workout, and I ended up doing it tonight, and that's where. If the beginning of the podcast, I was wobbling my head a little bit, it's just because I was trying to catch my breath and not be lightheaded. But that 300 workout sucks.
Dude, so Lance starts the conversation, right? Did you think, all right, this could go good? Maybe he's gonna be like, you know what, you're in better shape than I thought, or did you know I'm
No,
in for it, I'm done?
when he asked for permission to talk to me like an SF guy, I was like,
Oh,
here we go.
yeah, it can't be good if he's asking for permission because nobody starts with, you're the best, with, hey, do I have permission to talk to you a certain way?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, New Year's has started February 1st, or I should say a few days after getting back from shop. But he even, that's one of those things, man. When you go to these trade shows back to back, I admire the guys that can get up and go to the gym. I'm usually, doing 12-ounce curls till, 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe 2 o'clock, and then you got meetings at 8. So you're just burnt out. So the guys that can get up early and do the, go hard at the trade shows, hats off to
I got to get back to this.
Oh, here we
So
go.
he tells you, he hits you low, right? This is what I like about Lance's approach. He brings you down. First, he tears you down, right? That's got to be one of those things he's learned in the military. First, he's going to tear you down because now, second round comes, don't worry, he's going to build you back up a little bit, toss you a few compliments, says he looks up to
Yeah, so that might have been a charity case because he
you.
just saw like the wind come out of my sails, or he was being genuine. But the friend, him and I have been able to develop a pretty cool friendship, so I think he was being genuine.
Oh, I'm sure he was being genuine. I don't think there's a disgenuine bone in Lance's body, but I
Absolutely.
think he definitely rope-a-doped you.
Oh, absolutely.
He didn't start with the "I really look up with you" and then drag you down. He knew what he was doing. He's
not yeah.
just like picking up a hot chick at a bar. First, he's gonna tell you you're not that hot, but don't worry, he's still attracted to you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it was the rope. What'd you call it? The rope-a-dope?
Rope-a-dope.
There
Yeah.
we go. There we go.
I love that. I love that so much. So, it's changing gears. You guys saw Donald Trump live and in person, and you were in the front row. How did you guys end up in the front row?
That was kind of a little bit on accident, other than, well, I don't want to say accident. When I picked up the tickets, I ended up getting, just
Thought you were
a
someone
pack.
else.
And it was one of those things that, working with the network, we weren't right in the front. We were pretty close, but it was really interesting to see his sons and like just the way that I've been to the Golden Moose Awards prior, and they used to have Sportsman's Choice Awards and then the Golden Moose Awards, and they combine those with the networks both being under the same umbrella now. And I really liked it this year. I just felt like the format was good. It was timely. It didn't go too long. The entertainment was great. And then obviously hearing Donald Trump and, sometimes I don't know what it is about somebody being in a room, and I get it, not to get into politics, but they're going to come out and try to tell you what you want to hear. But the fact that he did not use a teleprompter and he walked away from it, because that's one of his big things that he talks about, is not using a teleprompter, and felt like, he was speaking from the heart, was really, really genuine, and definitely said some good things to make me feel like if he becomes president, that he's going to be for conservation because of what his boys believe in. He did say, I'd like to get out and hunt too, but I'm too busy trying to, run for office. But it was really good hearing that. He didn't get too much in any other things, but For the most part, him talking about conservation was really, really huge for me and spoke to my heart for sure.
Now, would you vote for him? Not saying you are voting for him. I'm saying would if he was, say, running against, say he got into the primary, past the primary, right? He's running against Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders. Would you vote for Trump?
Oh, now we got to get into politics. Yeah, you know, based off what I heard that night, I'd say, yeah, I'd vote for him. You know, and some of the other things that I've heard him stand for, you know, I think there's a lot of gray area that hasn't been defined yet that could, you know, without getting too far into it, that could be red flags. But at the end of the day, you know, someone that's going to stand up for conservation is somebody that I think, you know, because there's values in conservation. There's a code, an unset code that we live by, you know, with the integrity of animals and, you know, respecting them and, you know, not being these tree hugger PETA type people that, you know, don't understand conservation but think that they do. I think that there's something to be said about that for sure.
I'll step in right here and say I will not Thanks. Vote for Hillary Clinton.
All right, Phil going out on a big limb there.
Hey, no one saw that coming. You disrespect the military. You lie. Can't have it, right? I mean, I'm not one to vote against someone, but I won't vote for her.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing. I felt like, yeah, Donald Trump did talk about taking care of the military. That's also huge because if you believe in the military, especially the, you know, the wounded warriors that have come back and, you know, to me, that's also a big thing that I believe in. And I'm super thankful. I represent a company of, you know, some really awesome military guys, Josh and Butch Whiting, and then along with a lot of great people that I've met in their pro staff and people that they support. You know, you got to take care of the guys that have went and put their lives out on the line for our country. That to me is fair. You know, with conservation, all that, they just all sync up and line up. So,
Phil, would you vote for Bernie Sanders?
Here we go.
Let me tell you what I do like, okay? Right, because like Santino said, there's a lot of gray area and there's a lot of things with Donald Trump that, I may not agree with everything he says, and I might only agree with maybe half of what he says. But the thought of him supporting conservation, him feeling strongly about the military, him feeling strongly about preserving our Second Amendment rights, and, hey, as a businessman, if there's a problem, you got to have a business mentality to try to deal with the financial problem that we're dealing with, right, in our economy and our government, because it's a financial problem. So I'm not opposed to consider a business-minded person to help figure some of that stuff out. So those are some of the things that I do like.
All right.
Who's Bernie Sanders again? Sorry, what? Say who? Say what?
He's the guy from Vermont.
Just start speaking Spanish. Okay?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'll tell you what. I was impressed that he went to the Golden Moose Awards. I thought that was a brilliant move on his part. I thought – I was really happy he brought up the public land issue.
Yep.
You know, more importantly than the Second Amendment, because I think the Second Amendment thing's kind of like a softball, you know what I mean, for a lot of candidates, real easy target to hit. But I thought coming and specifically speaking about that one made it seem like you guys said – he is listening to his sons, because who else is bringing that information to him? You know, who do you think? Maybe he came up with the idea of going on his own, but I have a feeling, you know, his boys played a little bit bigger part in that to get him there.
Yeah, well, that was, you know, part of the feeling, but everyone that, you know, was able to actually meet him face to face and, you know, just heard really good things, like, again, I think people can go out and put on a really good show, but when you meet somebody behind this, you know, backstage or whatever it was, even if you have a moment, you can get a pretty good sense of, you know, guys you like and guys you don't, and knowing if they're the real deal or not. And, you know, that's one of the beautiful things about this industry. When you get to meet people, there's a lot of really good people out there, regardless of what their TV show says or what can be portrayed. There's just some really good folks out there with the right hearts and right intention.
I like that.
Will. Who are you voting for, Will? Don't give me no bull crap, man. Who are you voting for?
Who am I voting for?
Yeah. Assuming.
I'm a registered Republican. Candidates. I know that's going to surprise some of you. But if it comes down to it with the Republican candidates, I like Rand Paul, but I don't know with his stand on the whole land issue. And since Trump is a New Yorker, let's put it this way. I'm not sold on anyone just yet. I've got still a lot out there. I did hear some great pieces on NPR about Jeb Bush, but what it comes down to, man, is I'm not saying I'm tired with the way the whole system is being run, but there's a lot of things that are just not being run correctly. I'm friends with the guy who's the congressman for this area, and he said if he invited over the Senate and the Congress to his house for a big dinner party, he'd have to have security there just to check their pockets as they leave.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's his own home. That's what he's saying about his own home, about all these people he's working with. So somebody like a Donald Trump figure who is more cast as an outsider is a little bit more appealing.
Yeah. Well, there's something to it. There's something intriguing about it.
You know, some of the things he says, I'm just like, what the did this guy just say? You know, yeah, like some of his stances, we've talked about it, his stances on immigration and illegal immigrants and all this. It's like, you know what, if you're going to put up the wall, then you should have a center just like they did for Ellis Island, where it's come on in, sign your name, fill out the paperwork, now you're a citizen, there you go. You know what I mean? It's like you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, those are some extremes there that I don't know.
Well, there's a few people there that were pretty, you know, chanting and doing all that kind of stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that a guy that can't be bought, you know, essentially, you know, he can fund himself. I think that's a strength. But, you know, and I'm not going to try to, you know, you guys might take this off as preachy, but I just think we need some God-fearing men that are, you know, willing to take a stand, like willing to seek, you know, just something bigger than themselves. And anyone that does that or has done that in history, not just in this industry, but I really think that people like that get favor and, you know, they become great people because they're built to lead. And, you know, all of us have wives, we have kids, and I can tell, I don't even have to know how you run your house, but I know that if somebody walked in as a threat, there would be no question about you sacrificing yourself for them. I think we need men like that to look at our country in the same way, or that they are not going to sacrifice the core values and the things that, you know, that are right and good. And, you know, regardless of what you believe or have faith or not, like, we all have some sort of moral compass. And I think that, you know, we got to get back to that. And, you know, for me, conservation's taught me a lot of that. You know, I kind of have a crazy upbringing story, but conservation has really, like, lined those things up. And, you know, I said it in one of my videos I put out a long time ago, doing this has really become like a salvation for me and showing me the man that I always, you know, was intended to be and want to become, you know, for my sons.
You want to tell your story?
We'll have to do another podcast for that, but, or I can send a link or something like that. Our church ended up filming it. The short story was
put up a link.
Yeah. When
you
I was
seven, short story too.
Yeah. When I was 17 years old, I tried taking a coward's way out and ending my life because of some really hard things. And I was defending somebody wrongfully accused of, you know, just going out and beating up a guy. I was actually defending a girl, a friend that we had in high school. And, you know, just didn't stop. So I was looking at potentially, you know, spending part, you know, some of my earlier years in a box. And, you know, again, I had grace and everything on my life and some people that got all the facts together. I had no charges or anything pushed against me, but it was just a second chance to, you know, take life at a different perspective. But before I found out what the outcome was going to be, I didn't really have a man in my life or somebody that, you know, mentor or anything. I felt alone. I was living on my own and decided to put a 40 caliber Sig Sauer up to my heart and pull the trigger and write a letter and let my parents or whoever would find me in my apartment at the time, you know, just check out early. And about a month and a half later, I met my wife and never been the same guy. And I guess that's when all my hustling turned into, you know, going in the right direction and focusing on business and, you know, being a young dad and, you know, growing into, you know, what I've been able to grow into, you know, today.
So what kept you from taking the early curtain call?
No, I was ready, man. I pulled the trigger. It was absolutely the Lord. I pulled the trigger, firing pin hit the bullet, just gun didn't go off, or the bullet didn't go off. And when I racked it open, I saw that the firing pin hit the bullet and immediately felt something that I've never felt before. And again, I'm not trying to get all preachy, but just something came over me in this room, and you know, God just saved my life at that moment. And just, I just knew that, you know, everything was going to be okay. And I got a call from the lady at the Jefferson County that I was working with, and just said, hey, you know, we ended up getting this girl's side of the story, and you know, we're gonna run with this, but it's looking right now like, you know, it's basically a bunch of kids that were at a party and got drunk, and all of you guys were in the wrong, shouldn't have done it, but didn't even have to do a single hour of community service. But one of the probably biggest, you know, one of the biggest defining moments of my life to get a second chance and wake up and smell the coffee.
A little divine intervention never hurts.
No, man, it's always good.
That's the Mountain Ops you can't bottle up, huh?
That's right.
That's right, man. You know what? If I probably couldn't even count the amount of times I pray on my hands during the day. You know, little things. Again, not to get too preachy, but I tell you what, having just a little bit of something to just kind of keep you going throughout the day, it's a big help. It's a little advantage, I think.
No, absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, it's one of those things that you see it when you're in the mountains. You feel it when that bull screams. You know, you see it when you go to these trade shows and people are just so excited to see you or see them, and just that network. It's a great thing when you have that, in my opinion, because it's way more enjoyable.
More importantly,
when you're a little boy, or are you having a boy or a girl?
Boy.
Boy, yeah. When you come home and he runs up to you like, you know, Phil's son does right now, Elias, you know, dad, you're like, oh, there's nothing. You'll know. You know, it's just one of those things that you're just thanking the man upstairs for all the small things.
Yeah, right. I can tell you now, there's even in that room when they're doing like the check on the spine and everything, I was sitting there like, dear God, please, I promise, you know, like the things I owe, the things I owe and the promises I've made. And
right.
Like, I'm not the biggest church goer I have. It's just not necessarily something that's for me, or I haven't found one exactly for me, right?
Right.
But that doesn't change what's going on the inside, we'll say, right? And I think there's a lot of people kind of like that out there who are a little bit more keep to themselves when it comes to that sort of thing.
No, absolutely, man. And that's where, you know, being able to share with people or get, you know, not that I'm out there trying to, you know, convert people over to a certain church or whatever the case is. It's just, you know, like this, you know, it's being together, it's fellowshipping, it's having time like this. And, you know, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, hey, listen, I drink and I cuss, or I, you know, can lose my cool. And Phil knows what I'm talking about, probably, you know, more than a little bit there. I can be frustrated sometimes. And that's just, you know, again, I'm always going to be a work in progress. We all are, you know, and that's where, you know, being able to lean on somebody and know that, hey, when you fall, you got brothers around you that can pick you up and, you know, like a Lance Banning, and say, hey, man, I'm going to talk to you like an SF guy. Like, that's tough love. And you know what? I always say this, and I try to live it, and sometimes I've failed at it. But the first time I changed my first diaper, aside from almost throwing up, I just, the pride went out the window. So I've always said that. Say whatever you want about me. I'm thick skinned there, but you know, I'm pretty protective over, you know, my family, you know, because I'm here to take care of them and to do all those kind of things. Like, that means a ton to me. But I just think anytime you can have brothers and guys that, you know, can surround yourself and speak life into you, it's just a better way to live. Just like working out, just like doing any of the other things that we're passionate about doing. I think it's better than staying home, eating chips, watching TV, video games, and all that.
I couldn't agree more. I think if you put together a list of important things, you know, things you should put importance on in your life, the importance of surrounding yourself with those kinds of people and putting yourselves in those kinds of environment is probably one of the most important things you can do for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. It's the five F's: faith, family, friends, fitness, and then finances, in that order. That's I heard that from an old guy that I used
to. That's a good one.
Work with, yeah. Live by the five F's in that order. And it's just, and if they get out of order, you'll know. You know, you put finances above everything, I've done that before, and it doesn't work out so well.
I've never been able to do that.
Well, I mean, making that my number one goal, chasing that. I'm not saying that that has actually been at the top. It's usually when I go after that, it's at the very, very bottom.
The problem is the other ones are they're just more distracting. You know?
That's right.
I think, what is it about being in the woods too, or being out in the mountains, that you feel so connected?
Well, I Kenton Claremont was telling me all this geeky stuff that I always love hearing, but I think he heard it from Ben Greenfield. He did on his podcast, but like our bodies are positively charged, right? Like
right.
With blood flowing and everything. So there is something to be said about when you take your boots off and you're barefoot, you stand and you connect with the earth. Now I sound like a hippie, and I'm from Colorado, so I apologize. But and you connect you connect with the earth. It's just one of those things that it's almost like therapy. And there, you know, there's a reason why when you go camping and you're in the woods, you can sit around a campfire almost all day and not feel like you have to move or you have to go do this or you got to go, you know, do all these other activities. Literally, we've gone camping before and, you know, sleep in or get up early or whatever the case is, maybe go on a hike. And, you know, the rest of the afternoon, we're just sitting there around a campfire, hanging out, you know, enjoying God's nature. I don't know any other way to put it, but there is just absolutely, you know, you want to call it a presence or just, you know, something about being connected, you know, with the earth and just everything around you and just peace.
I don't care if people call it the force, but it's out there, man. You can feel it.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. No doubt.
You guys smoking some hippie lettuce or something, or what's going on? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
We're just, you know what, though? When you get talking about something like this or something about, you know, especially hunting. Hunting is a spiritual endeavor.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Even
one of the bulls that I killed 2 years ago, man, I got to see the light leave his eye, and it was absolutely – is that a blanket that you just pulled up?
Oh,
that
yeah. It's cold. It's cold down here.
You know, it's just one of those things, and I think that there is that, you know, type of connection, and